Du hører på Teknisk Sett, en podcast fra TU. Mitt navn Jan Moberg, og jeg I Stavanger med Odd-Rikard Valmot.
Hei, Jan.
Odd-Rikard, vi på et spennende sted.
Det vi.
Og det ærespris involvert.
Ja.
Vi rett og slett ved NTVAs utdeling av ærespris for banebrytende teknologi. Og for de som måtte lure på hva NTVA for noe, så det Norges Teknisk Vitenskapsakademi.
Teknisk naturvitenskapelig.
Ja, og du medlem, eller?
Jeg I ferd med å bli.
Ja, der kan du se.
Der ser du.
Det blir enda mer prestisjefylt. Vi skal snakke med vinneren av årets pris, men jeg tenkte først vi skulle lese gjennom begrunnelsen for prisen. For årets prisvinner har dokumentert en lang vitenskapelig og industriell karriere innen området reservoarteknikk. Vi befinner oss ute I Nordsjøen, Odd-Rikard. Gjennom innsats over mange år har prisvinneren utviklet en banebrytende digital teknologi som løser industriutfordringen med å identifisere reservoarolje og gass under boring. Basert på en stor reservoarfluid-database bygget på data fra norsk kontinentalsokkel gjennom 50 år og bruk av maskinlæring har prisvinneren stått for et teknologisk gjennombrudd for å muliggjøre nøyaktig identifikasjon av olje og gass under boring basert på rimelige og lite brukte mudgassdata. Teknologien blitt verifisert fra mer enn 100 brønner fra Equinors globale felt, og for utvikling av metoden har prisvinneren oppnådd vitenskapelig anerkjennelse og blitt tildelt flere internasjonale priser, og I dag altså denne fra NTVA. Med nøyaktig identifikasjon av reservoarfluid fra mudgass betydelig kostnadsreduksjon blitt oppnådd ved å redusere bruken av dyre nedhullsverktøy som prøvetaking under boring og nødvendig bruk av nukleær magnetic resonance. Den nye teknologien kan gi olje- og gassinformasjon for sanntidsbeslutninger om brønnplassering, komplettering og potensielle sidespor. Felteksempler I stor skala har vist at anvendelser av metoden gir betydelig økt verdiskaping. Og Richard, her var det en del ord jeg ikke helt skjønte.
Men, det kan vi komme tilbake til.
Det kan vi komme tilbake til, og da bytter vi over til engelsk. Vi har nemlig med oss da vinneren, senior specialist, Dr. Tao Yang from Equinor. Congratulations!
Thank you for having me.
You understood what I was reading?
Oh yeah, I do.
but now you have to explain to us that are not that deep into the industry or the underground.
Yep.
What is the big accomplishment here?
Oh, you know, just as today we have a few presentations before we have this talk, and the oil industry started the digitalization from 2015-16. And actually, you know, not only Equinor, and there are so many companies achieve quite many results. We're just one of them. And as James showed, that we do have a lot of good results. And I will say that we achieve a lot of results. First thing is, you know, we build a quite good foundation, especially on the data side, and we build quite a comprehensive data set in Equinor at based on the 50 years plus
through history.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's really an achievement because this is the foundation for everything that we're doing. Okay? And also we see that you know we have this very two presentations today talking about automatic drilling, which is you know the drilling is the most expensive you know operation we do, and we do achieve a lot of cost efficiency there. And so what we're talking about this technology specifically is mainly use you know the data we accumulate over 50 years, and especially this technology is doing something on across the discipline.
Yeah, but has this data set just been sitting idle for all these years?
Very much it's because you know all the company operate by disciplines. So the data we use actually stay in another discipline. Mm. So for example, that's the geologists they use. And for the history reason that you know geology the main task they have is to find oil and gas. It's not actually produced in the most efficient way. So this is why that this data is sort of like sleeping there for quite a long time until actually we have this opportunity to actually to squeeze all this information out from this data and use in a completely different discipline, which is the most efficient way to produce oil and gas. So this is really the difference, and that's why we're also talking this inside our company, also in the industry. We are looking forward to more similar like a breakthrough happening in the oil industry. This is some pyramid we're talking about, the foundation, like a efficient work process, and actually on the top is the new knowledges you can actually gain.
So to be clear,
yes.
For the whole period of the oil industry in Norway,
yes.
Geologists have been sitting in front of paper and screens looking at the seismic data. As a tiny little group to
yeah, that's geophysics.
Yes.
And seismic is a very important data that,
yeah.
For all the operations we do.
And they were not available for your use?
Yes or no. And all these production decisions are heavily influenced by the decision made,
yes.
By the seismic interpretation. And but of course, if we can use other means to improve the accuracy from the 4D seismic, that will actually add a lot of more values.
So you had to make this available for your methods.
Exactly.
Yeah, which was quite a job, I suppose.
Yeah, so luckily, all this, and now we have a big reorganization. It's already happened some years in Equinor, and we don't divide the geoscience and the engineering into two disciplines. We're working in a team, and especially in this digital team, that we are really working together every day. So that makes it easier you use the information from other disciplines.
And then I understand for the listeners here that the mapping you have of the seismic data does not have the resolution that can give you the decisions that you need as you are drilling.
This is exactly the challenge the Norwegian continental shelf are facing, because we are dealing with all the old field and also the near field, which are not far from your platform. These are all usually are very tiny targets. When the target become smaller and smaller, and you're limited by the 4D seismic resolution, which is we're talking about 20, 30 meter. So if your target is less than that, and so it's very difficult to make a precise decision.
Yeah, because now you're drilling maybe inside, and all that it is something there, but you don't know what it is.
Exactly.
And
this
that's
is the
what
challenge.
You can do now while you're drilling.
Yes. That's why when we use this the data already in the industry for many decades and not used for the specific objective, and now we can borrow that data, we can improve the accuracy to the meter level about where is the gas, where is oil, then we can make a very precise decision without making mistakes.
Exactly. But one thing I have to ask is, you mentioned here that the being digital for the oil companies really started not that many years ago.
No.
And why is the reason for that? I mean, they knew this was an opportunity. And they've used digital solutions for pretty much everything else. Why was this slow?
Maybe I'm not the best person to talk about this. And the digital work started 2005, 2006 for all the oil companies when the oil price was $20. So this is a really something that we want to achieve. If you think about the bank sector, they have a digitization much earlier than us. And look at all the banks today. And we don't really have any cash, and a lot of things are automatic. And when you're trading the stock market, it's a machine. It's not the people trading the all the shares. So it's a big achievement in the bank sector. That's really make the oil sector start to think, when the oil price is so low, how we can actually improve our performance and efficiency. So this is where we're a little bit late, but luckily that with 5-6 years time we spent, And I think we learn quite a lot. You know, it's a learning curve. Everybody need to pay for that. But after that, we know how to do things much more smarter than like in 2015.
And of course, with all these data you now have digitized, you can use machine learning, AI, everything to optimize.
Exactly,
drilling.
Exactly. Yeah. And also there's a lot of better tools now. And because we have a chat before talking about in the 7-day, 8-day, how the log looks like and how the data report looks like. And nowadays, there is a lot of smarter ways. When we build our database, we use close to 10 years and doing a very slow manual work. And that work in today's situation can be done probably 1 or 2 years. So there is a big improvement now. And so the data is widely available, like I think Professor said that about the data is widely available. Of course, there is a big job, like all the machine learning, all the AI project, you have to deal the data because of the data, naturally they will have noises, they will have wrong data, they've been labeled wrong. There are so many things you need to work on the data. Typically people saying you spend more time on the data than the modeling part.
Yeah.
So machine learning take less time than you prepare the data.
Bring us down into the drill hole now. What's going on when you use this technology and this method?
Yeah, I think the three, you know, the technology basically use the mud gas, which is a gas released on a rig, you know, after you recycle the mud, the drilling mud come to the rig. So we sort of use a fingerprint of the gas we release from the mud.
And this is detection equipment that are already
there
installed.
In place. Yes. And this been the technology been, you can say several decades there, 30 years, at least. So we use that technology. We can actually tell where the gas and the oil. So this information is very important for exploration wells. When you drill a hole, you want to know where the gas oil. Of course, you have a better tools. So that's why our technology, the main advantage is actually for the production wells. When you don't have all these advanced tools, you have only the basic drilling well logging tools, and then you need to make a lot of decisions.
Yeah, and the resolution of the data you have is poor. So,
exactly. Yeah. So this is where that the data part can improve the quality of the data and make you ready for the more precise decisions. But
did they sample the mud data? Did they save the mud data from the beginning of the oil age as well?
Yes. And so we did some work for the well in the 70s.
Yeah.
And all the data are in the archive. And it's...
So you knew when methane came up and when it approached oil density, etc.
Yeah. So depend on which type of mud gas. In the old days, like 7-day, 8-day, they use some simple degasser.
Yeah.
They have fewer components, and they have probably three components altogether, and we can tell the type. We don't tell the properties. We can tell this is oil, this is gas. But nowadays, from the 90s, they have more advanced tools. You have 7 components. When you have 7 components from C1 all the way to C5, and then you can actually tell the properties of the gas and oil. So that make, the decision much more efficient. But depending on what you have, you work on the legacy wells, which is old well from many years back. We have some solution on that. If you have the most modern gas data, we can actually give you a lot of more based on the technology.
So the C number, what you're talking about, is the length of the hydrocarbon molecule coming up.
Yeah, because the gas is very much from C1 to C5. C1 is methane and C5 is pentane.
Yeah.
So this is very much the gas component we have. So
one thing that I think is very fascinating with this industry is that we think of the fields or the resources as large and easy to detect, but it is just a tiny thing way down far there. And my question then is when you have to recycle this back to the surface to have it analyzed, when there's a latency, because of the relatively small distances, sometimes you have to How are you doing that? Are you waiting until you get the result to drill up farther, or how do you speed up the process?
We can't really speed up the process because our machine learning
model. There are physics involved.
Yes, there are physics because the lagging time is caused by the mud has to circulate to the surface.
Yes.
So depending
on. And be analyzed?
Yes. So you naturally will have 1 to 2 hours lagging time. Mm. And depending how important for your operation, and if you use a data interpretation like after TD, which is you finish off the drilling, and you don't care about this 1 to 2 hour. But while we're speaking now, we have a well in Visun and we're doing geosteering. So that really requires real time. And when you have this 1 to 2 hour lagging time, you might face some difficulties when you notice that you're in the wrong place. It's already probably over 30 meters.
Overshoot.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but it's a kind of a balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think our drilling people will naturally will slow down a little bit. So,
well, this detection tool makes it a bit more easy to slow down too, because you don't have the expensive equipment and you know you're going to get more exact results.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you, this is helping for reduction in costs. There are no more expensive downhole equipment. You can get increased oil production. And that's going to bring in hundreds of millions of kroner to the business. And already maybe have.
It's already happened.
Yeah. And that's why we're here getting a prize.
Yes.
Partially. But but there is but there is another element to this also, because just on the shelf today we have 3,000 abandoned wells or holes that have to be
P&A.
Yeah,
plug and abandonment.
Yeah.
Yep.
How does this technology help in that sense?
Yeah, this is our next big target, because the P&A in Norwegian Continental Shelf until 2030, we're talking about more than 1,000 wells. And the business, the spending is about 800 billion. This is big money we're talking about. Although this is paid by the government, most of it, 78% paid by the government, but as a responsible operator like Equinor, we will try everything we can to make the cost down.
Wow, so, this is beautiful. You make money for the oil companies and you save money for Richard and myself. So that's a good choice.
Yes, how to do it is our next step. We really try to use this technology to actually make sure overburden some of the barriers unnecessary, we can save that. So when we save some of the small piece, so you're talking about the big money.
A last question, we're running out of time, but now what's next?
The next is actually it's like I already mentioned about, we have a learning curve. Because all the people we're talking about today is we're at a very different stage compared with 2050. And we can't just spend a lot of money just like before. I think we know how to spend the money. We know where to spend the money. So this is a thing that we want to accelerate the digitization in the oil industry, but at a very reasonable
smarter spending. And cheaper.
That's the actual next step.
Well, congratulations, Senior Specialist Dr. Tao Yang, Equinor. And congratulations with the prize.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Og takk til Odd-Rikard Valmot, og mitt navn Jan Moberg.